What's going on? Welcome in to the Abe TL Show, coming to you live from Murph's here at the Cobb Galleria All-Star Village. And I will tell you what, I cannot believe the scenes outside today. I drove up and I wanted to get here early. I wanted to make sure that there were no issues parking, that I had no issues finding and making my way into Murph's, getting set up and doing all the things I normally need to do for pre-show prep. And I pull up and I take a left off of the highway and I just see people standing there. And I don't mean like a dozen people. I mean hundreds of people. Some of them, as you would expect, wearing Braves gear, Braves fans, Atlanta locals. And certainly others who are already in from out of town, some who may have attended the celebrity softball game last night. It is a scene down here at All-Star Village. And again, an interesting setup for the All-Star weekend here in Atlanta. Some things going on in the Battery, as you may expect, and a lot of things going on across that walkway over the highway right here at the Galleria area, All-Star Village. Again, I said hundreds. It may have been thousands of people already lined up. And this was at 8:50. I don't even know if they opened until 10 just a couple of moments ago. So it is a heavy crowd. So if you want to get down here, spend some time in the area, make sure to get here early, because I have a feeling that this is going to be a busy day. I just ran the Peachtree not too long ago with 53,000 of my athletic friends. And I have an odd suspicion there's going to be a number topping that in the area today. The parking garages are already starting to fill up. If you can take Uber or Lyft, I certainly would recommend it. It's going to turn into a madhouse, and it's also going to be a little bit toasty over the course of the day, a little bit warm. And so if you need to pop out of the sun for a couple of minutes, right here at Murph's is a great place to do it. I was looking at the menu earlier. My goodness, what a offering, especially some of the desserts that I had my eyes on. It's a little too early for dessert right now, but I may dive in a little bit later. But again, we are here at Murph's because of the All-Star Game and All-Star Weekend right here in Atlanta. And a lot going on over the course of the last 36 hours, but certainly the next 48, 72 hours as well. MLB draft is going to get going. We already had the futures game. We already had the celebrity softball game. The HBCU Swingman Classic as well. I know this morning down a little bit further south in town, the 4.4 miler down there at Center Park Stadium, of course, honoring a legend there in Hank Aaron as well. So that was a lot of fun. I really had wanted to run it, but I'm here at Murph's, and I'm not quite fast enough to do it down there, get up here, and be ready to roll. So again, Murph's going to be opening here at 11 o'clock, and they are getting set up for a busy crowd today, and you should certainly come take advantage of the scenes down here. Get some All-Star specific souvenirs and some gear. They got the special shops set up all over the area. And again, it is going to be crowded. So give yourself time to get here. Give yourself time to get situated and park, and a little bit of a line because I just don't know if they expected this. I couldn't really. I turned off the highway. I tried to get here early on purpose. I could not believe how many people beat me here. I really couldn't. But that's the juice that Atlanta has right now as the center of the baseball world with the All-Star game here being played Tuesday night and the Home Run Derby on Monday night. Now, we have had a change to the Home Run Derby. I'm sure you've probably heard about it by now. But if you have not, Ronald Acuña Jr. has decided to pull out of the Home Run Derby. This is a precautionary decision that I'm sure Acuña did not take lightly. He has made it known that he is still going to play and start in the All-Star game. He did play with the Braves yesterday, and I know the lineup's not out yet. At least I haven't seen it, but I would expect that he will be back in there playing today, and we'll actually talk about his role in the lineup in a little bit. kind of a change to what we've seen over the past, I don't know, 4 or 5 years for Ronald Acuna took place yesterday. We'll get into that in a little bit. But the lower back tightness earlier this week had forced him to miss a game, be a scratch, and probably just don't need to take over-torqued swings trying to hit one out. And so the good news is, as replacement for Ronald Acuna Jr., it is going to be Matt Olson. And so I'm fascinated to see because there was so much hype and energy about Acuna being in the Home Run Derby. Acuna has had some really nice performances in the Derby before. I do wonder if you still get the same sort of hometown juice that Matt Olson for Acuna instead. I know Matt Olson talked about coming to All-Star festivities as a kid back when it was at Turner Field. Now he has the opportunity to star and showcase in his own right. And, you know, I was kind of looking at the numbers just a little bit, and I was trying to figure out, hey, I know what Acuna can do. We've certainly seen success from him, again, in a derby setting. What about Matt Olson? What are the expectations there? You know, to be honest, it might actually suit Matt Olson a little bit better, speaking strictly from the dimensions of the ballpark. Truist is 10 feet shorter for lefties than it is for righties, both down the line and in right center versus left center. So slightly easier to get one there into the chop house. And so I'm still optimistic. I think we've also seen Matt Olson is a streaky hitter. And I know we're talking about streaky in terms of over the course of a season, there's some ups, there's some downs. I do wonder if over the course of like 12 minutes, he just gets into one of those grooves that we've seen him do over the course of 20, 30 games where he's hitting everything. You kind of wonder what sort of performance he could put on. You also kind of wonder if they should have slid Sean Murphy in there the way he's been hitting the ball. Murphy had 2 home runs Friday night, both of them just absolute tanks. And another one last night, a 3-run home run, or yesterday afternoon, integral homer. In what ended up being a 7-6 win for the Atlanta Braves. We'll get to the Braves as we move throughout the show. Obviously, it's nice to see them win a series finally. You did get some tough news about another starter who is out now due to injury placed on the 10-day IL. That's Austin Riley. We'll talk about it in just a moment. We do have the All-Star pitching matchup, and it's probably what you hoped it would be, if we're going to be honest. You know, sometimes the outings line up and certain guys have to be scratched from the All-Star game in terms of their availability, more so from the pitching perspective than anything else. Tarik Skubal, however, is going to get the start for the American League. He is a massive right now front runner for the AL Cy Young Award. One of the best pitchers in baseball, quite frankly. And he's going to be opposed by Paul Skeens for the National League. And again, you want to look at the win-loss record for Skeens, that's on you. You look at some of the deeper numbers, it will show you that Paul Skeens is one of the best pitchers in baseball, even if his offense can't support him, something we know a little bit about, unfortunately, here in a special edition of the Midday Show. Andy and Randy, the rare weekend outing for the duo, and they're going to be here today following me from 1 to 4. Grant McCauley is going to be live, a live version of From the Diamond, right here starting at 4 o'clock, also here from Murph's. So a long day, a lot of showcases and performances and appearances here throughout the day. So if you're not overly invested or interested in coming to say hi to me when the doors open, just a reminder, Andy and Randy are going to be here from 1 to 4, and Grant McCauley after that. So a lot going on. Now, we do have a controversy in the All-Star game, and I'm not overly surprised it became a discussion point, but I also kind of understand it. And for a sport in Major League Baseball that people have continually complained for 20 years, probably, maybe longer, about, hey, these guys aren't doing a great job marketing their stars, and they let Mike Trout hide in Los Angeles. How could you not make him a bigger deal in L.A.? And you've got, you know, certain young up-and-comers, fun guys, and they can't have their personality, and they can't do this. Jacob Mazeroski has been named to the National League All-Star team, a Brewers pitcher who has just come out of the gates like an unstoppable force. He is named to the All-Star game, All-Star team, as a replacement after just five starts, after I think it was 25 and two-thirds innings or whatever the number was. He breaks Paul Skeens's record from a year ago as the fewest outings before being named as an All-Star. And it's just one of those things where I understand if you want to argue for the Phillies, Christopher Sanchez, or for any other team who felt they had a quality replacement player available who had a strong season up to this point. I understand why you want to say, hey, man, like, this guy has earned it. This guy deserves it. But there also is a discussion about what the fans want to see. I think that needs to play into it. And also, I don't think we take away from, is this guy the best pitcher or among the best pitchers in baseball just because it's only been five starts. I think you've seen enough at this point to be like, yeah, this guy is probably one of the best pitchers in baseball. He obviously outdueled Paul Skeens a couple of weeks ago. The strikeout numbers are already ramped up, double digits expected pretty much every time Mizorowski takes to the mound. I mean, he and Skeens sold out like 40,000, 42,000 for a day game a couple of weeks ago. That doesn't happen in Major League Baseball. Not very often, certainly not in Milwaukee, certainly not for a businessman special. And I just don't think you can ignore the impact that Jacob Mizorowski has had. Is it a tough pill for guys like Christopher Sanchez who felt like he's been deserving? Certainly, I understand that. But ultimately, I believe All-Star games are for the fans. If you want to award players in some certain manner, then go ahead and have an all-MLB first team, all-MLB second team, right? You have silver sluggers, you have gold gloves. You want to make it a little bit deeper than that, that's fine. We'll see if Sanchez or anyone else lines up after that. But this is a guy people want to see. There's no doubt about it. And so we will find out if we do see him on Tuesday night. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like it's some big shame on the game. Also of note, Christopher Sanchez had an All-Star bonus in his contract, not being selected, at least not as of this point, as a replacement. Was going to cost him $50,000. Kudos to the Phillies organization. I know it's tough to give those here in Atlanta, but kudos to the Phillies organization who has stepped up and said that they are still going to give Christopher Sanchez an All-Star bonus. Because, again, I'm not trying to take away from Sanchez or Mizorowski. Sanchez has had an absolutely deserving season. But if you ask me which guy I want to see on the mound against a variety of American League All-Star hitters, I don't get very juiced up to watch Christopher Sanchez. And I will get juiced up to see Jacob Mizorowski. And that's just the facts. And that's just my approach. And if you want to view it from a certain reward level, that's fine. I want to see what I want to see, man. And I want to see what I believe to be the best in baseball go against each other. And regardless of the season that Sanchez has had, when I look at Jacob Mizorowski, I see one of the best in baseball. That's what I want to see in the All-Star game, and that's the exact reason we have Paul Skeens starting for the National League and the reason we have Tariq Skubal starting for the American League. All right, when we come back here, it's the ABTL show coming to you live from Mervs. Again, doors open about 45 minutes, 11 o'clock, and I have an odd suspicion it's going to get packed down here pretty quickly. So looking forward to seeing you. If you're coming down here, a listener, make sure you pop over, say hi. As soon as you walk in, there's a big old bar, and I'm just to the side of that, kind of between where the bar and the restrooms are. You can't miss me. But looking forward to that and looking forward to our next discussion. What's going on with the Braves right now? A couple of other stories circulating in Atlanta. It's nice to win a series. It is. I still don't think we're going to make an argument that a lot is going on for the rest of the season, but feels better than the alternative. So we'll talk about the Braves, what's going on later today as well. Some more Atlanta sports also coming your way. It's the ABTL Show live at Murph's right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back in. The Abe TL Show. Abe Gordon coming to you live at Murph's. Murph's going to be opening in about 40 minutes at 11 o'clock, but the action down here at All-Star Village, Cobb Galleria, is already hot and heavy going on. Hundreds, if not thousands, of people already taking in the scenes. It's an interesting timeline, right, because the Atlanta Braves are away. There is still Major League Baseball being played, but you are certainly ramping up a lot of the All-Star activity, and certainly you want to hold some of these events on the weekend, like today, where people have an opportunity. You know, not everyone stops working over the next 2 days, just the baseball world to an extent. Obviously, a home run derby and an all-star game. But a lot of people having an opportunity to come down and take in. It should be a pretty nice day today as well. It's Atlanta, so it's going to get hot. I think we understand that. But I don't see any rain in the forecast, which is nice. I actually need to go for a run later today, which is going to be a disaster. 1,000 degrees outside. Yeah, we'll see how it went. Allie Mack, our friend on the morning shift, and I'm actually going to be with the morning shift this week at SEC Media Days. Allie took part in the 4.4 miler earlier today. Said a little unexpected hills. If you haven't run from Center Park Stadium before, and that's where the Thanksgiving half marathon pretty much begins. Not a lot of routes you can take away from Center Park Stadium that doesn't immediately put you on a hill. And so it's a tough area to run in. And so there you go. But Allie had a good run today, and I saw thousands of others take part as well. So there you go. The Atlanta Braves in action over the course of the past couple of days. How about this? They've won a series, ladies and gentlemen, and a chance to sweep heading into the All-Star break. And look, I still get excited about Braves when they win games. I still get excited about an opportunity to sweep. But I'm also not going to sit here and say, hey, this is a turning point, and I believe that they can fight their way back into this thing. It's very tough for me to argue that. I've said now for 3 weeks, maybe probably more, it just doesn't feel like anything's going to turn around, certainly not to the extent where they can get back into it. A lot of that has to do with the injuries in the rotation. A lot of that has to do with the offense sometimes waking up and sometimes going to sleep. And all that. So I'm not going to sit here and argue that the Braves are going to fight their way back into this season, but I do still enjoy watching this team win. I do still have fun during victories, and a chance to take out the Cardinals, potentially a sweep heading into the All-Star break, still gets me excited. And so Friday night, it was 6-5. Rough go for Grant Holmes. That was a tough one because he's one of the two, maybe three guys, if you count Bryce Elder, that you kind of are counting on. He only was able to go three innings, five runs, but Sean Murphy stepped up, 2 400-plus foot home runs. Acuna was 3 for 5, Profar 2 for 4 in that one. The Braves get a 6-5 win there. And then yesterday afternoon, in a bullpen game started by Aaron Bummer, they win 7-6. Acuna home runs. Ozuna hits a home run. Murphy hit a three-run home run, and they ultimately get there again. Joy Wentz made a nice outing as well as part of the bridge in the a bullpen game. 2-15 against Sonny Gray. Once again, looking for a sweep. So some good stuff going on for the Atlanta Braves right now. Be nice to send them into the All-Star break on a little bit of an upswing. Again, not going to sit here and argue that they can get back into it. I'm not going to try and talk you out of it. If you feel that way, it's just a tough sell for me. Again, the rotation issues are real. And most of it is not performance-based. It is injury-based, in my opinion. And you lose this many starters for this length of time. It goes all the way back to Ronaldo Lopez. Spencer Strider was out for a while. Now he's trying to round back into form. But no Ronaldo Lopez, no A.J. Smith-Shawver, no Chris Sale, no Spencer Schwellenbach. It's always going to be tough to fill that many spots in a rotation. Not to mention that Austin Riley is now out for at least 10 days there. He was removed on Friday mid-game due to abdominal tightness placed on the 10-day IL. Nacho Alvarez called up, and this is the guy we thought might make a scene here at times, and certainly didn't want an injury to force him into the rotation there, but he came in and had a nice little season debut for the Braves yesterday. So a couple of good things going on for the Braves, and we'll see if they can continue that later this afternoon. Couple of other headlines going on in Atlanta sports. SEC Media Days is certainly coming to Atlanta. What isn't coming to Atlanta? I know you had Saturday night main event last night, retirement match for one Bill Goldberg, and you've got another event there at State Farm Arena. You just had Beyonce, obviously, for four shows right here. We've got the All-Star Game, as you know. That's why I'm here at Murph's at the All-Star Village, the Cobb Galleria. Come and check it out. Come hang out. They're going to be opening the doors in just about 30 minutes. But SEC Media Days invades town as well. That's a massive, massive event going on at the Omni and the College Football Hall of Fame. And Georgia's going to be there on Tuesday. We'll talk about Georgia a little bit later in the show. We're going to talk about the SEC Media Days in more length in our next segment. I got Garrett Chapman, my partner and co-host for College Football Game Time, back in studio. We're going to bring him into the show next segment and talk about the SEC Media Days. But Georgia not waiting till then to make some headlines. They add five-star tight end Caden Prothro, four-star defensive back Tyreek Green yesterday. Both of them commit to Georgia. Georgia now has 23 commits of four stars or higher. I think that Prothro is just the second five-star, along with Jared Curtis, the quarterback, in that 26 class. It really is incredible. It's a run of recruiting. Even Kirby Smart will tell you he's never been on a heater like this. And so really impressive. Again, all these for the next year, not for this coming season, but it's still got the ball rolling up there. Atlanta United late last night, a final-minute penalty kick secures a 1-1 draw. Not quite the final minute, but one of the last couple of moments there. They get a foul in the 96th or so minute. Luke Brennan taken down in the box. Not called initially, goes to VAR. They determine it is a penalty kick. Latte Loth steps up and finds a way to sneak it into the net past Sean Johnson, who almost made a really nice save. That was in the 101st minute of play, and it's the latest goal in MLS play in Atlanta United history. It is a 1-1 draw on the road against Toronto FC, and now they return back to Mercedes-Benz Stadium for three home games over the next week and a half. Also, thoughts and prayers. I know most of you probably have been made aware by now, but Atlanta United president and CEO Garth Lagerwey was diagnosed with cancer. He's taking an indefinite leave. And certainly best wishes to him and his family. The Atlanta Dream got beat on Friday night. Caitlin Clark and the Fever took care of business 99-82. Jordan Canada for the Dream had 30 points in that one, but unable to slow down the Fever in the second half. They get after it again today. New York Liberty at 3 o'clock. And how about this one out in Las Vegas? 29 points from Kobe Bufkin, as the Hawks beat the Heat 105-98 in Summer League. They're going to get after it also at 3:30 today. Amanda Anisimova, unable to make much noise against Iga Swiatek at Wimbledon yesterday. And then not too far from now, I think we should get going in the men's final. If you can draw it up, and that's what the bracket is meant to do, it is Carlos Alcaraz and Jannik Sinner once again to decide the men's championship. And so that one should be a fascinating matchup. Earlier this week, Tuesday, Quarterback came out on Netflix, and I think we've all had a general reaction to it. A lot of people frustrated again for whatever reason. Honestly, and I think us here at 92.9 The Game have had done a pretty good job throughout the course of what happened both in season and since of being right there for it. And I don't know if you guys felt the same way I did, and obviously it's not necessarily for Falcons fans. It's for a national football audience who maybe wasn't aware of some of the specifics going on here in Atlanta. I didn't learn a darn thing. I don't think anything was new. I guess maybe confirmation of what we assumed was part of something that potentially you learned, but nothing changed for me after watching the quarterback series. I think people got mad again, and I think that was probably expected. I think the good news is it kind of feels like we're past that. It kind of feels like the anger and frustration, and I'm not going to say for everyone. There are going to be some people, especially here in Atlanta, because it's one of the things I really despise about some fans here. They just can't let go of a grudge that's irrelevant. It's just one of those things where it's like, all right, move on. And I think the majority of Falcons fans have. I think this it came out just far enough away from training camp where the frustration and the anger and the furor has faded. And the focus is now moving forward. The focus is on Michael Penix as QB1. And I think that's where it needs to be. And I'm sure at times, whether it's in training camp or early in the season, something may come up where Kirk Cousins is brought to the forefront again. Hopefully not in Atlanta, but I mean in terms of, hey, this quarterback in this city, in this team went down, are they going to come after Cousins? And those are the conversations I'd like to be having in regards to Kirk Cousins. So there you go. We'll see. But I'd like to think that when we get out there to Flowery Branch for training camp, that we are not just bombarding Raheem or Penix or even Kirk, if they make him available, with questions about the quarterback series. I just didn't learn anything new. It did not change my thoughts at all. And I like to believe for most Falcons fans, they were probably on top of it as well and really didn't learn much either. What we might learn is the future of the college football playoff. Because in my opinion, the world of college football goes as the SEC goes. I know the Big Ten wants to try and pretend like they're real decision makers in this, but they're not. That's okay. Greg Sankey and SEC Media Days invade Atlanta. We'll tell you what we're watching for, myself and Garrett Chapman on the other side. It's Abe Gordon live at Murph's getting you ready for a fun day here at All-Star Village. Doors open in just under 30 minutes. They got some good food, good drink. It'll be a fun time. Come hang out starting at 11. I'm here till 1. Andy and Randy after that, and Grant McCauley as well. The show continues on the other side. The Abe TL Show rolls on in about 5 minutes on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app. Welcome back in. The Abe TL Show here on a Sunday morning. It'll eventually turn to a show in the afternoon, followed by Andy and Randy, and then From the Diamond with Grant McCauley. And we are all going to be sitting right where I'm sitting right now, and that is at Murph's Cobb Galleria, just around the corner, right kind of right in the same area as the All-Star Village. So if you're coming down, checking out the sights and the scenes here as the All-Star Game gets set for Atlanta on Tuesday, Home Run Derby tomorrow night. But there are events and appearances and all sorts of good stuff going on throughout the rest of the day today. Want to talk about the SEC Media Days in just a moment. But some news for the Atlanta Braves that have taken place over the last hour or so. The Braves recalled Davis Daniel and optioned Austin Cox to AAA Gwinnett. That was after last night's game. Again, you're stuck in this situation where you don't really have but three starters and you're trying to pull multiple bullpen games together. You got to get some arms who are available. So in addition to that, they selected Wander Suero to the Major League roster. DFA'd Michael Peterson, who's been a pitcher. And then the bigger news is they optioned Daisbell Hernandez to AAA Gwinnett. And Hernandez is an interesting case because he's got a great arm. He just can't control it. I mean, this is a guy who, with a little bit tighter accuracy, is a closer. He popped at 100 yesterday. Multiple pitches at 98 and 99. The problem is, he also walked the bases loaded, and a wild pitch sent in the game-tying run when you were trying to hold a lead in the eighth inning. It's not the first time that Daisbell Hernandez has had some control issues, and they've got to get that figured out. So he's being sent down to AAA because, again, he has closer stuff. I have absolutely every bit of confidence that he could be a closer, but if he's going to put guys on base, if he's going to walk guys, you just can't put him in those moments. And so hopefully he can get figured out, because can't be walking dudes left and right, especially not when you've already gotten to two outs in the inning. Frustrating yesterday. The Braves still found a way to win. Again, all this movement in the back end or front end of the bullpen as you're trying to bridge gaps in bullpen games, Daisbell Hernandez is a significant name to no longer be on the Atlanta Braves major league squad. Again, not DFA'd, just sent to AAA. If they can figure out that control, he can be a dude, but it's just so tough right now. The good news is you've seen Raisel Iglesias look a little bit better, came in and got a nice a save yesterday, had a nice outing the day before as well. Again, a lot going on in Atlanta. WWE is here. Beyonce was just here. MLB All-Star Game and All-Star Events and All-Star Village is here as well. And as soon as the games wrap today, of course, Atlanta is in St. Louis, but all over Major League Baseball as the games wrap, the Major League Baseball world is going to be descending upon Atlanta. I have a number of friends who cover Major League Baseball that are coming into town. Might already be here. I know some are coming through later. I'm looking forward to seeing. The baseball world is coming to Atlanta. So is the college football world, though. And as many people are coming for Major League Baseball, it might be, from a media perspective, it might be even more coming to SEC Media Days. And it's going to be held at the College Football Hall of Fame in the Omni Hotel. And we've got a bunch of broadcasts throughout the week down there. I am going to be there all week long, Monday through Thursday, with the morning shift, getting things started with Ali Mack and Bo Squidbilly Morgan. Looking forward to chatting with them and just chatting college football in general. We got Garrett back in studio, and Garrett and I are among the group of hosts for College Football Game Time. So Garrett is already put in a ton of work to get as much coordination as possible for SEC Media Days. It's one of these things where it's kind of just you're flying by the seat of your pants. It just happens without much notice. And that's it's been like that for a long, long time. So looking forward to seeing Garrett at SEC Media Days. Chris Goforth is going to have a special show each night at 6 p.m. going through it and what happened at SEC Media Days that day. And it starts tomorrow. Georgia is going to be going on Tuesday. It's going to be a massive day on Tuesday. But I want to chat, and Garrett, feel free to pop in here as well. Just kind of get you set for what we are looking forward to at SEC Media Days. One of the biggest aspects of this, and made even more so by recent developments and recent comments from other commissioners, is Greg Sankey. We'll have an opportunity to address the media and field some questions. I'm really looking forward what he has to say about playoff expansion and the format. And there's been this big butting of heads recently. It felt for a while like the Big Ten and the SEC were going to try and get aligned with what they want to do. Now there's maybe been a little bit of a fork in the road for the two conferences in terms of a partnership, because it looks like the Big Ten wants one sort of format, and it looks like Greg Sankey and the SEC are maybe open to a different format. Now, of course, each conference is trying to do what they feel is in the best interest of their own programs. I don't think the SEC wants to limit how many berths they potentially could have. I mean, you look at a 16-team playoff format, which was probably where this is headed. If you have 16 teams last year, Alabama gets in, South Carolina gets in, Ole Miss is in the discussion. I mean, it's a completely different breakdown. And so I'm not sure that they're interested in saying, hey, you only get four, or you're at a maximum of five. They're looking for like half the field, if possible. So maybe not half, but seven. I think they're going to make their arguments for 7 out of 16 teams being SEC. And so looking forward to that. I think there's still a huge debate on 8 conference games versus 9 conference games, along with what sort of quality of non-conference opponent he is going to ask SEC teams to face. There's a new strength of schedule metric that I know the SEC keeps sitting here and saying, we need it, because no one plays the kind of rough role that most of our teams do. And, again, he'll be able to respond to comments made by other commissioners. Garrett, before we move on to the players and the coaches and what we're looking for, is there anything else from Greg Sankey that you're looking forward to having him an opportunity to address? Anything specific?
I mean, you hit most of it. I mean, it's a lot of the big stuff, the big picture items. And I really hope that the big picture items are limited to Greg Sankey, because he's responsible for a lot of that stuff. But, I mean, you know Kirby Smart's going to be asked about it. You know Coach Kelly's going to be asked about it. A lot of the bigger coaches, DeBoer, of programs who are going to be competing for national titles. But I really expect Greg Sankey to get peppered with questions throughout the course of his time here in Atlanta. But it's that's his job, you know, and I think that hopefully it's limited to just him, though.
Yeah, and I didn't mention NIL. I'm sure there'll be plenty of conversation about that and transfer portals and windows and all that stuff. I really just want to go ahead and start trying to focus on the football, and that's what's great about SEC Media Days to me, is you really can start to dial in. And a number of teams, or all of the SEC teams, each bringing 3 players. Fascinating to me, the teams that did and did not bring their quarterbacks. You know, you try and figure out some of the quarterbacks who are going to receive the most attention. Alabama does not bring Ty Simpson. Maybe they don't feel like it's beneficial for him to be the focal point right now of an offseason discussion for the Crimson Tide. Not a problem for Texas. They are thrusting Arch Manning right into it. And certainly he's going to be the quarterback probably that gets the most attention, has the most clicks and most eyes and most quotes and all that. We're going to talk a little bit about Texas in the next hour when I kind of break down some thoughts on UGA football. I just don't understand why people are not as hot and heavy about UGA as I am. And the Arch Manning love affair is something that I still question. Garrett Nussmeier at LSU, Lenora Sellers at South Carolina, 2 guys that have potential Heisman hopes, certainly they could lead their team into the college football playoffs. South Carolina really trending upwards towards the end last season. Those 2 guys are going to be focus. And then a guy that I think is going to get a ton of focus tomorrow as part of the opening day, mainly because he puts himself into the conversation, not necessarily because I believe he's that good, but he's a quote machine and he doesn't back down, is Diego Paivia, the Vanderbilt head coach. Maybe not for the better. All I'm saying is you're going to talk the trash that he talks, and he is not concerned or scared to get into it. You better back it up. But those are the quarterbacks that I'm most looking forward to. Georgia is bringing Gunnar Stockton. I know there were some thoughts. Honestly, a number of Georgia journalists and columnists did not expect Gunnar Stockton to be there. I was texting with BA, Brandon Adams, who's going to be at SEC Media Days all week as well. I was texting with him when Georgia announced, because he had just done a hit with Andy and Randy last week on Tuesday, and literally, I don't know, 5-10 minutes after he left the studio, it came out, and I texted him and said, hey, they are bringing Gunnar Stockton. And it was just, he said, wow, I can't believe it. And I was chatting with Dukes and Bell, and Connor Riley, and he was a little surprised. And so Gunnar Stockton's going to be there as well. Little question about whether Florida would bring DJ Lagway. Some concerns about a shoulder injury. He's going to have to address those questions because he's going to be there also. Garrett, any other quarterbacks you're looking forward to hearing from?
No, Diego Paivia is going to be absolutely fantastic.
He can't get out of his own way, man. Like, it's just one of those things where if he backs it up and Vandy does some of the things that maybe they showed they could do a year ago, like, all credit to him. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm also worried it's still Vanderbilt and, like, you had a nice little bump, but you are still Vanderbilt.
Well, you're on the map now. That's the difference.
There's no jumping up and getting anyone.
Yeah, exactly.
No doubt about that.
I'm looking at Jackson Arnold, specifically the Auburn quarterback, transferred in from Oklahoma. I think he has the most potential to really surprise people in 2025? Because I feel like he got kind of a bad rap for last year.
He did.
He didn't have a lot of support out there with Brent Venables and company. I mean, it was not necessarily a good situation for him. He got harassed. He got hounded. Got sacked a lot. I think he actually got sacked more than anybody.
Well, and the biggest problem, Garrett, and you know this, and we'll talk about this more when we do get to college football game time, is you come in with that five-star label and you just can't fail from the start.
Exactly.
And there's just no time to build, especially now when, I mean, again, I used to be pretty big into recruiting way back in the day. Now it's just so easy to know who all these guys are. Yeah. That if you're a five-star and you don't light the world on fire, it's just a really tough sell. John Mateer is going to be there for Oklahoma. I know you and I, Garrett, have talked about him quite a bit. So looking forward to hearing him as well. And then you've got some coaches who are going to have to deal with what coaches deal every year, and that is, are you on the hot seat? Do you feel safe about your job? What do you think this near year needs to be? And so I got a couple of them. Billy Napier, it's fascinating. I don't know if he's on the hot seat or not. He obviously had a very, very nice run last season. It's still a very difficult schedule. You have DJ Lagway. And the recruiting class for Florida has been very, very good. They're trending towards another top 10 class, if not higher than that. They got another four-star yesterday. I know Georgia got a five-star and a four-star. Florida got another four-star yesterday. And they're trending upwards as well. So I do think that Billy Napier is in a fascinating hot seat or not seat there at Florida. Lane Kiffin at Ole Miss, if they don't make the playoffs again, I don't know if he's necessarily on a hot seat to get fired. I don't know how much more money the boosters are going to keep giving him. I think it's a huge year for Hugh Freeze. You talked about Jackson Arnold potentially being a difference maker there. Kalen DeBoer. I'm fascinated by how big the leash is. He's still in Saban's shadow. Can he afford to miss the playoffs again, especially as they increase playoff format and the playoff field? And then Sam Pittman, he came into the season last year on the hot seat. I guess he did enough to keep his job. I'm not really sure how. And the eyes are on Brent Venables as well. I think there's an opportunity for him to take a big jump forward if they don't. It's tough to come into the SEC at the same time Texas is, feeling like you're equals with Texas. Watch Texas do what they've done and kind of jump towards the top of the SEC. And if you're Oklahoma, you're still kind of in that middle ground. Garrett, any other hot seat coaches in the SEC?
I mean, Brian Kelly is somebody who I think is very interesting. And it's because of expectations and less based in reality. Brian Kelly was brought in there to win national championships, and he hasn't even gotten to the playoffs. He's got a Heisman Trophy winning quarterback, but Garrett Nussmeier, I think, is another great addition to what LSU has done at the quarterback position. But Brian Kelly's got to get him over the top, man. I mean, he got him to an SEC championship year one, kind of overachieved in that season, but since then hasn't necessarily been up to snuff by LSU standards. So I don't think that he's actually on the hot seat. I just think that fans are getting a little restless.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that there's just such high expectations for Nussmeier this year that it's almost tough for people to believe they won't succeed. And I think that's why he's not maybe placed on the hot seat to start the year. If things go south in season, though, he could find himself there. So I don't disagree with you on that. So, again,
I do want to say this before you move on. So as far as head coaches go in the SEC, it was the first year that no coach was fired in the SEC since 2018. So there is likely going to be at least one casualty by the end of the season.
No doubt about it. Again, we are live here at Murph's for the MLB All-Star Celebration, MLB All-Star Village going on just outside the doors here, and they're going to open those doors here at Murph's in just about 5 minutes. So if you're in the area, if you're heading down today again, I'll be here till 1. Andy and Randy from 1 to 4, and Grant McCauley from 4 to 6. So a full broadcast day for the most part here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game live at Murph's. When we get back, there are two teams in Atlanta sports who have seasons actively going on, and neither of them are anywhere close to what they imagine this year will be. We'll talk about it on the other side. It's Abe Gordon, Garrett Chapman back in studio. I got Gordon hanging out with me here as well. Coming back in 5 minutes, live at Murph's. Come say hi on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.